Well, we've been talking about the importance of how we live our lives in the natural and how it is connected to the spiritual, to the eternal. Christianity is not to be lived separate. Amen. It's like we have this Christian life and then we have this secular life. We have our natural life and then we have our spiritual life. But actually the spiritual and the natural are supposed to be together. Amen. So whatever we do in word or deed, we should be doing all for the glory of God and being led of the Spirit, amen, in everything that we do. And I know many of you here, you're doing the same thing. You're saying the same thing, praying the same prayer. Say, Lord, show me what to do. Show me where to walk. And Lord, give me wisdom. I need wisdom to handle these problems that I'm dealing with. And show me what to do, amen. And how many beside myself are constantly praying, Lord, I need your help, amen. Do you know that's actually a good place to be? Because if you don't think you need God's help, you're deceived. Because you and I were created for Him, to have a relationship with Him. And if you live apart from Him, you are living a dysfunctional life. Amen. But to be functional, we must be in Him who, amen, can keep it all together for us. And, you know, the Lord keeps everything together by the word of His power. He holds all things together by the word of His power, and He speaks His word, amen, and everything is in existence. Everything is in its place. Everything's in its orbit, amen. The atmosphere is compatible for human beings on the earth because God spoke it, amen. And so we need to be in agreement with what God is saying, what God is speaking, because what He speaks is always life-giving. Apart from Him or without Him, there's death. Outside of the word of God, outside of the will of God is death. That's why we must abide in Him who is life in order to have life. You want to have abundant life, you must continue or abide in Jesus, amen, who is life. So it's not about just having nice things and stuff, all right, and having an easy life. As some people think abundant life means abundance of stuff. Well, God can bless you with material things, amen. But even in that, how many know that there is a stewardship, amen, and that there is, you need to be faithful in what God even entrusts to you in the natural, amen, even being faithful in that which is least, even in financial matters, that we are people of integrity, that we are people that obey the law, amen, that is right, the rightful law, that we pay our taxes, that we don't cheat. So, come on, somebody. That we are faithful to God to honor Him with the first fruits of our increase. God will honor those who honor Him. And if you give, Jesus said, it will be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's what Jesus said. Amen. So there is a place for that. We need to understand the value, the importance of giving. And what we're really doing and what God is really looking for is my life given back to Him. Amen. God's not looking for your money. He's looking for you. Amen. But whatever we have been entrusted with, whatever we have been given, to, amen, we have also been given a stewardship over that. Amen. It's basically the Lord who has invested us in us, His grace. God has given to us certain abilities. Every one of us here have been given grace. Amen. By the Lord. We've been given abilities. We've been given talents. We've been given gifts from the Lord. And so when we receive something from the Lord, it's not just for us, but God wants us to invest in the lives of others what we have received. Amen. So if you receive a word from the Lord, share that word. Amen. Have you received a blessing from God? Share that blessing with somebody else. Testify to the goodness of God. Testify what the Lord has done in your life. Share your testimony. When you share again your testimony of what God did then before, it brings what He did then into the now. That's why Passover was to be observed by the Jewish people, amen, lest they would forget. It was to recalibrate them, to remind them once again of God's faithfulness in their lives. Hallelujah. And isn't it interesting in the breaking of bread that their eyes were opened, amen, after Jesus rose? Mm-hmm. Power of your testimony. We overcome the devil, right, by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hallelujah. So you and I, we have great opportunities in life. We're so blessed to live in this nation. But guys, listen, if we do not exercise self-control, you can lose everything. If you don't exercise self-control, you can lose everything you've gained. And how many know I'm not just talking about spending money? I'm talking about if we do not discipline our lives and our bodies, we can lose what we have gained. That's why Paul said, I have to discipline my body, bring it under subjection, right? Lest after I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified or cast away. So God is giving you and I an opportunity right now to invest in eternity, to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And in order to reign with Christ, we must first learn how to reign over ourselves. Self-control is the fruit of the Spirit. Self-control is necessary in you and I accomplishing the will of God for our lives. If we do not control ourselves, we will not accomplish our mission in life. That's just how it is. As a Christian, you can fail in your mission if you do not learn how to rule over yourself, to control yourself, and bring your will under the will of God. That's the safest place to be, is with your will submitted to the will of God. Father, you decide. Lord, you show me. Lord, you lead me today. Lead me in the way I should go. Galatians 5:16, how many know this one? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. So, in order to overcome our flesh, we need to learn to rule by our spirit. We need to rule by our spirit. Your body, okay, your flesh, even that sin nature, is to be under the control of your spirit, who is infused with God's spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive the ability to control our spirit, amen, and command our soul to submit. Your soul is who you are as a person. Amen. I can control myself because I'm under the authority of God. I have the Spirit of God. Therefore, I have the power and the ability to control what I do or don't do. So we are without excuse. It's important that our spirit is led and empowered by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit. So the biggest battle in our lives is really in the soulish realm. That outer man, we may call it. That's your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? Because that's where the devil operates, in your mind, your will, and your emotions. So those are the three areas, the primary areas where we really need to get a grip and get control of, amen? By the ability that God supplies us. By the grace of the Lord, we overcome the world. Amen. It's not of us. We don't have enough willpower to completely submit our will to God. Amen. We need the power of the Holy Spirit, even to submit ourselves to God. That's why we drink of His presence. That's why we are filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. So the Lord will empower us to get control over our thought life, over our emotions, and over our will. How many know that your emotions are not to control you? You are to control your emotions. Your emotions are supposed to also come under the authority of the Lord. Because when we make emotional decisions, we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. So I need to rule over all three areas. First of all, the mind. How many know this one? 2 Corinthians 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal of human origin, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? Okay, it could be. Yeah, it could be an addiction, right? But a stronghold is a place of refuge given to the enemy. For example, it means really a fortified city or a fortified castle. So a stronghold is a place where the enemy can be safe in your life. The devil can be safe in the areas of our lives where we are unsubmitted to God. When we are in rebellion to God, and when we refuse to yield to the Spirit of God, we give the devil permission to camp out in that area of rebellion in us. He establishes, if you will, a beachhead, and then from there he continues to do more damage in your life. He's just looking for the door to open up and for you and I to yield, whether it's a bad attitude or whatever it is, amen, just to give him permission, unforgiveness, so that he can come in, right, and establish a stronghold, whether it be pornography. All right, some kind of addiction, drugs. It's a stronghold. Amen. As long as we are sympathetic towards sin in our lives, the enemy can continue to operate in those areas. So if you're in addiction, you've got to come to the place where you are truly repentant and say, I am not going to have any more sympathy for this drug. I'm not giving it any more place. I am toppling this idol in my life. Amen. And I'm not going to allow that thing to rule me anymore. I'm going to do whatever's necessary to get that devil out of my life. Amen. And that means I must first submit to God. Because if I don't submit to God, I will not have the authority to deal with it. You see, people want a quick fix, but they don't want to submit to God. And somebody can be delivered from drug addiction, but if they don't continue to stay submitted to God and stay under his authority, they can end up right back in it again, and sometimes it's worse. So God is telling us, you need to deal with these strongholds. You need to take every thought, what? Captive to the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Well, how do we know God's mind, God's heart, God's character? Through the Word, amen? If it doesn't agree with the Word of God, it's illegal for us. If our thinking, amen, is not something that would please the Lord because we know the Lord through relationship, amen, and through his word, amen, then we know that that is an illegal thought. I'm not supposed to be meditating or thinking or dwelling on that kind of thinking. How many know all sin starts out with a meditation in the heart, right? You start to think and fantasize in your mind, and you're giving the enemy permission because now he's established a stronghold. Some people end up in addiction to pornography, but it always started out with a few gazing here and there and maybe just kind of pushing the envelope a little bit. But how many know that that thing can lead to a deeper addiction, amen, to where a person is now captured because the enemy has now established a stronghold. Now, the good news is that God can deliver us, amen, and set us free. But God does not want us tampering, amen, with things that he is displeased with, because he knows it's destructive in nature. And sometimes, guys, there are things that we have allowed in our lives that we're going to have to deal with the rest of our lives, because we refused in the time when God was pleading with us to submit ourselves to him and obey him in those things. God will forgive you, but sometimes the consequences will follow us in our lives. And that's why it's always better to say yes the first time and learn, amen, from it. That's why we must stay focused on the Word of God and rely upon the power of the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Now, another area is our will again. Our will has to be submitted to the will of God. Now, this is one of the more obvious ones in Scripture, but remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. All right? Even though he was very God, amen, he was also a human being. He was God and man in one. And so in his humanity, he had to struggle, amen, with that will. He had to make sure that that will was submitted to the will of his Father every day. And then finally it came to the place where he knew that the cross lay before him and he was going to have to suffer. Amen. But in his humanity, he had to overcome his will so that he can conclude with, not my will, but yours be done. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, here it is, not my will, but yours be done. Guys, you understand the importance of getting our flesh under control, of getting to a place where we are really honestly submitting ourselves to God and giving God first place. God is trying to help us get over our own stubbornness and our resistance to his Spirit. And sometimes he has to take us behind the shed and give us a little attitude adjustment, amen, so that we're going to learn that God's always right. And he's a good father, amen. A good father will discipline his son, all right? He'll discipline his daughter. So James 4:6 says, he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God what? Resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. See, pride is me saying, you cannot rule over me. Pride is saying, my will, not yours. God is saying, I want you to trust me. And I want you to know that I love you. And that I only have good for you. If you will trust me, I will release my goodness in your life. But you have to be willing to say yes. And you have to be willing to trust me enough to say, from now on, we're going to do it your way, Lord. From now on, I'm going to follow you. See, God wants us to repent. God wants us to change our direction, our minds. Amen. About the way we've been living our lives and say, God, it's got to be under your will, because that's the only place of security. The place of security is in the stronghold of God. We need to be in the stronghold of God. We should give no place to the devil. Amen. But God is our stronghold and our deliverer. And we know that emotions are definitely a big deal. We're emotional people. Amen. Jesus was emotional too, wasn't he? He had righteous indignation. I believe Jesus had everything that we had as far as emotions go. Amen. Because he was very much a man too. He was 100% man, 100% God. But in his humanity, he had to control his emotions. They had to also come under the will of God. James 1:14. Well, let's go back here. Proverbs 16:32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. You see, again, the devil really cannot take liberty with anyone who is submitted to God. Anyone who is willingly laying their life down, amen, for Jesus, giving their life over to him, submitting themselves under his will, all right, that's the place of security. That is the stronghold of God. And in that place, the enemy cannot touch you. However, the enemy is trying to entice you and I to come out from under God's authority and do it our way, and therefore give him access to us. You see, he can touch us if we take ourselves out from under God's authority. Now, I'm thankful that God is gracious. He is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's patient. Amen? And aren't you glad we don't always get what we deserve? But let's not tempt the Lord either, as some do. Some people are testing God, putting God to the test by the way they live their lives. Some of these Hollywood elites blaspheming God. Some of these singers, musicians, blaspheming God, making a mockery of God and the people of God or the church. And how many know that if it wasn't for the mercy of God, these people would have no chance. They would have no hope. But God is that merciful that he would even give someone that we say, man, that person is really corrupt. That politician is really corrupt. But how many know that God is merciful even to corrupt politicians and is not willing that anyone should perish? And he's given people an opportunity, amen? But there is a certain window of opportunity. And when that opportunity is over, that time is up, amen? Then God's judgment will come upon the world of the ungodly. He is going to deal with a foolishness that's going on right now. In his time. But God is giving people an opportunity right now to be saved. Aren't you glad? If it wasn't for the goodness of God, where would I be today? If it wasn't for his mercy. God's nature is Psalms 145:8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Aren't you glad? Slow to anger and great in mercy. How many know that uncontrolled emotions can lead us into sin? James 1:14 says, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, think about it. The enemy can only operate in the realm of the soul, and that's why the soul must be submitted to the Spirit of God or under the stronghold of God, under the protection of God. Amen? That's why we obey the word of the Lord. We bow our knee to the Lord, amen, to the Spirit of God. And because otherwise we're giving access to the enemy, we're giving him permission, all right, to enter in. And again, it says, listen, that temptation comes from our own desires. From where? Our own desires. See, we're really quick to blame the devil for everything. Well, yes, the devil will operate, all right, but he can't operate in somebody who's submitted to God. Because the power of sin has been broken in the life of the believer. There's no excuse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's by the ability God supplies, I can rule over myself. I can control myself. I can do everything that God has called me to do, because God would not call me to do something and not supply the grace for me to do it. Amen? Amen? He doesn't say, go do this for me. And well, I hope you do well. God is there with us. Amen? He's going to give you the grace to do what he told you to do. He wants you to trust him. How many have ever been disappointed in the times when you have trusted the Lord? Can I see that hand? All right. I didn't see any hands. But have you ever been disappointed when you hadn't trusted the Lord? Yes. So the Lord is trying to teach us how to die to ourselves and submit ourselves to him and trust him and know that he's always right and his way is the way of life. And he wants you to have that life. He wants you to be an obedient son and daughter, a man that he can just lavish his grace and his blessings upon, because he is a good father. Amen. And understand this, that the blessings that we receive in our life aren't just because we're good. Amen. It's because God is good. But any good parent, amen, is going to want to bless their children if they're doing a good job. God does the same for us. If you want to be promoted in the kingdom, if you want to be advanced in the kingdom, then you need to learn, amen, how to rule over yourself, how to be faithful in the natural things first. How to be a faithful, loyal, obedient, amen, employee, amen, someone who can be trusted. Someone who is a dear friend, amen, and someone that will be there for you. God is looking at what we do in the natural, just like he did with David, remember? David was faithful to take care of his father's estate, and the time came when God promoted David, amen. Eventually, he ascended to the throne because God saw in David a heart of a man who had a heart after him, after God. And it delighted the Lord that he was an integrous individual, a man that he was loyal to his father, to take care of his father's sheep. Amen. And God is looking at our lives. Are we loyal people? Are we dependable people? Are we people of integrity? Amen. Are we trustworthy? What we do in the natural matters because God takes note of it. The eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the earth to show himself strong, right? On behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. So don't be misled, he said. Don't be deceived, right? Because if we're not guarding ourselves or guarding our emotions, you know, Eve made an emotional decision. Amen? Genesis 3:6. We see mind, emotions, and will here, all three engaged. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food. Now, this is the forbidden tree, remember, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise. What happened? Emotion. She took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. We have to be very careful that we protect ourselves, amen, from temptation and not allow our emotions to rule us, but we must rule over them. Cain killed his brother Abel because he allowed his anger to get the best of him. If he would have reigned over and then ruled over himself, that would not have happened. The good news is that today God has given us his Holy Spirit. Amen. So we have a supernatural ability. If we will draw from him, if we will rely upon the Holy Spirit, ask him for help, he will be there to help us. Amen. But David had to guard his mind also. He had to guard his eye gate. In Psalms 101:3, he says, I will refuse to look at anything vile and vulgar. And I hate all who deal crookedly. I will have nothing to do with them. Every child of God, every one of us has to undergo testing, because testing is an opportunity for advancement. It's not that God is being mean to us, it's he's giving you an opportunity to be advanced. But he needs disciplined people, user-friendly vessels. Revelation 2:26, once again, and he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. So in other words, you're not going to rule with Christ if you don't learn to rule over yourself first. We are to live by the truth and not by our emotions. Many people get involved in relationships that are built on emotion, but not on the will of God. So even though somebody may be attractive or somebody may have a charming personality, you really need to say, God, what is your will concerning this situation? And I can tell you right now, if you are a Christian, a child of God, God's will is not for you to marry outside of the faith. So let that be the rule number one. Amen. God does not want you getting involved in any relationship, amen, of the opposite sex, who is not also a believer. Boy, you can avoid a lot of problems if you just listen to that one. Amen. That was Paul's advice. I think it was 2 Corinthians 6:14. Let us not become unequally yoked with unbelievers, right? So we don't want to yoke up with somebody that doesn't have the same faith we do, because it will cause problems. All right. So staying focused is important, that we discipline ourselves to focus on the Lord, to focus on the Word of God, that we hide the Word of God in our hearts, that we absorb the truth, amen, get it in our spirit. God wants every one of us, amen, to have a disciplined life of prayer, amen, and in the Word as well, because you got to get that Word in you and get it in your heart or on the hard drive. So when the time comes, amen, the Holy Spirit can bring to the screen what you need. Come on, somebody. And many people get into problems because they do not have the knowledge of God. And therefore, where there is a lack of truth, there is darkness. And when the Word of God, the entrance of the Word of God comes, it brings light. Amen. And where there's light, the darkness can no longer abide. So when the enemy comes with a lie, you'll be able to pick it up. You'll be able to discern because you have the truth in you. Amen. So we need to study to show ourselves approved. A workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, right? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Many people, they fail in their lives because of this very thing. They don't have a saving knowledge of God. They don't have a saving knowledge of the truth. Colossians 1 verse 9 says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, that is the faith of the Colossians, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You can't have spiritual understanding without the Holy Spirit. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and what? Increasing in the knowledge of God. How many here are increasing in the knowledge of God? How many here are increasing in the knowledge of God outside of church? How many know that God wants us to be disciplined to increase in the knowledge of God outside of church too? Come on. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, but God wants us to study also. He wants us to hide his word in our hearts, like David said, that I would not sin against thee, right? That we won't sin against God. Because again, the enemy can only camp out in the areas of darkness. He can only camp out in the areas where we are ignorant of the truth. He can only camp out in the areas where we are sympathetic towards sin. And that's why we must have an attitude that I don't want anything to do with the devil. I don't want anything to do with darkness. Amen. I'm not going to dabble with the occult. I'm going to have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Amen. And you're not even going to be able to expose the unfruitful works of darkness if you don't have the word. Amen. The truth. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes we have, you know, young people and they come in and they say that they love Jesus. They're Christians. And yet they're shacking up and they're living, you know, in immorality. They're living in a relationship outside of a marital contract. Amen. Or a covenant. And they're having sex. Okay, how many know the Bible calls that fornication, right? That is sin. And so God will give the believer the self-control if they will ask him for it, amen? And they will take charge of themselves and know that their body is their servant, not their master, amen? But if you can't control yourself, then get married. Somebody say amen. Amen. So that you're not sinning against God. And also against your own body, by the way. So ruling our bodies is more than just avoiding sexual sin. Let me just say this. There are certain things in our lives that may not be sinful or immoral, but they can be detrimental. There are certain things that we should not be allowing in our lives, even though they of themselves are not sinful. But they can be hindrances. They can be stumbling blocks. They can be things that are good, but for us, they're actually not good because they can interfere with our walk with the Lord. How many know sometimes habits, hobbies can become a problem? Because the hobby now becomes my God. It's more important to me than the things of God. Sometimes sports can become a god. I'm more concerned about the sports scores than I am the will of God. I'd rather learn about the scores than I would the word of God. Amen? And it's really shocking to me that in some cases, churches have actually shut down their service on, what is it, Superbook Sunday. And they've watched the Super Bowl at church. So why no revival? So why America is at where it's at? Hello, somebody. How many know that the church needs to be revived? The church needs to get saved. Some of them. God help us. You know, if you're full of Jesus, if you're full of the Holy Spirit, you're going to desire the things of Jesus. Amen? That's the way it is. What you're full of will come out of your mouth. What you think on, dwell on, speak on, amen? It's all known because a tree is known by its fruit. So if you're drinking from the right source, you're drinking the living waters, amen, then that's what's going to come out of your life. But if we're drinking from the polluted pools of the world, then the water is going to become tainted. And how many know it only takes a little bit of an impurity to make water bad? Amen. We want to be a pure vessel for God. Amen. We want to be a pure fountain. Hallelujah. We don't want to be mixed with the world. Somebody say amen. Amen. So we are called to separate ourselves, to step outside of the city, if you will, to meet the Lord. Amen. To join ourselves to him, even to bear his reproach. We have to come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And then I will receive you. How many know that we will be known by what we speak, what we say? Everybody can be Joe and Sally Christian on Sunday morning. Amen. But how many know that eventually if you are living with somebody or you're hanging out with somebody, who you are is going to be known? Because it's only a matter of time that you're going to be speaking what's really going on the inside. Amen. And so God wants his people to be pure. He wants us to be holy. He wants us to be set apart for him. He wants us to get rid of all the impurities, get rid of anything in our lives that would defile or even good things that would hinder us in our race. So we're not encumbered. We're not hindered. Hallelujah. Ruling our bodies is so important because our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Another thing, guys, is that even though we may have good things to enjoy in this life, especially in America, it's easy. And by the way, Carol, I repent of eating so much yesterday, by the way. So she says, boy, you sure have a lot on your plate. But I was thinking, you know, I'm going to be preaching about this today. So I don't know if anybody knew it, but I took one of those hot dogs off and put it back. No, I'm kidding. But how many know excesses, overeating, all these things? You know, if we would guard ourselves, protect our... God heals the sick. Amen. Amen. God wants to heal the sick. Mm-hmm. But how about doing the right things to our body? Mm-hmm. So that we're not getting sick because of choices we've made that were not really what God wanted for us to be introducing into our body. Amen. Now, I know it's expensive to eat healthy. But God will give you wisdom and guidance in everything you do. Amen. And sometimes you just have to eat something that's on the fly. You're on the go. Amen. And God understands that. That's why you should always bless your food and pray over it. Amen. And I shared this with some of you before, but I remember being at a seminar one time and the guy prayed over the food and he said, Lord, destroy everything in this food that is not good. And I was expecting the food to almost disappear. But, you know, we do need to be careful that we bless everything that we eat. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you can't always know what you're going to get. But if you have the ability, do what's right for your body. Amen. And God wants us to take care of our temples. We have to rule over this body. Amen. Addictions, certainly excesses, right? A lot of times, guys, you know what addictions and excesses really are speaking about? They're usually an indication that there's an inner need in our life that has not been filled. So we're trying to fill it with other things, lesser things. God wants his people to be healed, and he wants us to be fulfilled in him. So he doesn't want us relying upon other things to satisfy ourselves. Are you hearing me? God's not against good food. Amen. Eating good food. All right. Having time and fun together. Amen. God's not against that. But God wants us to esteem his will above every other thing. So my will is submitted to his will. And if what I want to do contradicts what I know what God wants me to do, he has to be Lord. Amen. And I have to submit it. And I have to be willing. And if God sees that you and I are faithful, that we are obedient as his children, but as his servants to do what is right in his sight, even when my will says, oh, but I want that. Oh, but I want to do this. Oh, God, but I had made these plans. God, I want to get out in that tractor and I want to just finish the job. But isn't it interesting how if it wasn't for the stuck tractor, right? That you wouldn't have got to church, all right? And you wouldn't have received your healing in your knee. Praise God, right? Isn't that right? God works in mysterious ways. So it's not always about a bad thing. We have to look at, Lord, what are you trying to teach me in this? Or what's the value of this lesson here? How about controlling my emotions when things don't go the way I want? If I don't get control of my emotions, then God's not going to entrust me with the greater riches. How many know that you can't be given somebody great power and authority? Amen. It's dangerous to give a king, for example, that authority if that king has a very short wick. We see that in antiquity, right? Even today, in modern times, there are certain leaders that they have a temper tantrum and people die because they have no control over themselves, over their emotions. And so if we want to reign with Christ, we must learn to rule over our will and our emotions. Amen. And we need to guard our minds and not allow ourselves to go into places where we know God doesn't want us to go. You know, it's kind of like changing the radio frequency. I know some of you are old enough to remember the dials, right? I don't know how many still have dials anymore, but we used to have to dial that frequency in, you know? And God wants us to dial into heaven station. Dial in, amen, through the Word and by the Spirit, amen. We're getting a clear focus and our minds are being set upon, amen, the Lord. And knowing His heart, knowing His character, knowing His will for our lives, amen. And then we can with confidence know that I am living out the will of God for my life. And that's why Paul could say, I've kept the faith, amen. I fought the good fight. Because he knew that he had done what God had called him to do, even suffering for that will. But he knew that the reward ceremony was coming. Amen. God wants to fill the emptiness within us with himself. Psalms 37:4, one of my favorites. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. How many know that it's possible for us even to be steadfast, to be strong in the Lord, to be doing the will of God, to be submitted to the will of God, to fall away from our steadfastness? If we do not guard ourselves, if we do not control ourselves, if we do not guard our thinking, amen, and we don't submit our will, hello, and control our emotions by the power of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter how spiritual we are on Sunday. Amen. On Monday, we could have a meltdown. Because God wants us to rely upon Him every day for the strength and for the grace. Amen. For us to overcome ourselves. If we will get control of ourselves, the enemy will have no place in us. He will have no way that he can control us. Amen. Oh, the devil this. Oh, the devil is after me again. If you control yourself, the devil will know he doesn't have an audience. If you control yourself, the devil knows he'd be wasting his time with you. You see, the enemy studies us, doesn't he? He knows if we have sloppy agape or not, right? If we're not really toeing the line with the Lord and walking carefully with the Lord, He knows that. And He knows where our vulnerabilities are. And He knows that if we don't stay armored up every day, amen, and we don't pray and we don't seek the Lord, hallelujah, and we don't abide in the Word of God, then He can hit us in a place of blindness. How many know that one wrong decision can turn your life in a completely different direction? Right? One wrong decision. That's why Proverbs 3 says from 5 through 7, what? In all your ways, acknowledge Him. All your ways. What we do with our bodies in this life, here and now, matters for eternity. God has given you and I an opportunity, amen, to be positioned to reign with Him over the nations. If we can rule ourselves now, submit ourselves now, be faithful stewards now over what God has entrusted to us, amen, be loyal to Him, then God will know He has somebody that can one day reign with Him. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. We cannot do, as God's people, we cannot do only what we feel like doing. We need to do what's right. Amen. And God will honor you. God will promote you. God will advance you. And God will grant you a greater anointing if you're learning to be faithful in what He's already given to you. You see, some people are running around going to place and saying, pray for me, lay your hands on me, I want an impartation, I want a greater anointing, I want this, I want that. And God is saying, well, what are you doing with what you already have? Are you being faithful in what I've already given you? Did you obey the last instruction? Oh, God, speak to me, God, speak to me. He said, you didn't listen last time I spoke to you. Learning to be faithful in the day-to-day life that we live. Amen? So today is a new day. We can hit the reset button right now. Say, you know what? Hit the reset. We're going to move forward with Jesus. Amen. We walk out of here. We're entering in the mission field. Say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me. Amen. Make me a blessing that out of my life, Jesus will shine. And amen, I'm going to discipline myself for not only my own sake, but most importantly, because I don't want to sin against God and I don't want to cause a brother and sister to stumble because of my bad testimony. Because if I walk in love, I will be mindful of my actions, amen, and how they could influence or affect others around me. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask you for the strength. We ask you for the grace. We ask you for the power of your Holy Spirit to empower us, Lord God, to enable us, Lord God, to live a life that is honorable, that would bring glory to you, Lord, that will please you, that, Lord, we want to bear fruit. And we want that fruit to remain. So God, I ask you to strengthen my brothers and sisters. Strengthen each one. Strengthen us with might in the inner man, Lord God. Baptize our hearts with your Holy Spirit and fire, Lord. Let your fire fall upon your church, Lord. Set our hearts ablaze for you, Lord. Give us holy passion for you, God. Change our hearts, oh God. That our hearts will be in tune with you, in line with you and your will. That our hearts will be submitted to the will of God. Father, we want to live for you. So give us the grace. Right now we pray, forgive us our sins, Lord. Blot out our transgressions. Purge our iniquities. Wash us in your blood. And fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.